Right. Call a meeting of the county commission to order. All members present. And we've got Joseph Allen to talk to us about late fees, if I'm not mistaken. So if you would, come on up to the mic there and tell us what your desire is.
I recently went to the collector's office to get a tax receipt when I was finishing my taxes this year. And I own three different properties here in the county, and one of them hadn't been paid for the past 2 years. And I was under the assumption, like my other properties, that the taxes and insurance was escrowed. And that was my mistake, that thinking that they had been escrowed. So I never came up and said, okay, I need to pay my taxes. But unlike most situations, I never got a letter or anything saying, hey, come pay your taxes. Otherwise, I certainly would have. Ms. Wyatt pulled the document that she was using to go off of for my address, which is the general warranty deed from Evans Title Company. And someone had handwritten in the top paragraph my address. Now, I know the rest of my title work, the rest of my folder has P.O. Box 1036 on every document. That was the mailing address that I used for the 2 years I lived in Forsyth, which was my office down here with Mike Merrill. And this handwritten part here, it's arguable that it's P.O. Box 103, and it's arguable that it's P.O. Box 1036. To me, it looks pretty clear that it's something other than 103. Whether or not you can tell it's a 6 or not, I don't know. I understand that by statute, in order to have the fees and interest taken off, it has to be a decision by the commission. I know Ms. White can't just do that. I actually went into her office last week when I came in here to set this hearing, and I was going to pay the amount of taxes that I owe less the penalties and interest, and then she said that I had to pay the full amount if I was going to pay, so I just told her I would wait. It's a negligible amount for tax year 2008. Fees and interest are $116.44 for tax year 2009. Fees and interest are $51.95. So we're talking about $175 there, roughly. And I'm glad to pay my taxes. I would never want to not pay my taxes. However, it's kind of the principle of it. And plus the fact that over 2 years, my office was a block away. I own three properties here in the county. Those other two properties, the taxes have been paid. I come in and out of this courthouse 3 to 5 times a week. And I just wish if they couldn't find me and if I owed money, someone could have said, hey, Joe, come pay your taxes. But I'd be glad to, if I could approach, I'll be glad to show you guys the document that I'm talking about.
And if I may, it takes a governmental error, and your claim is that by setting it to 103 instead of 1036, and it arguably says either one, but if they had checked, it does say 1036 on there, and they sent it to P.O. Box 103, and you never got it, so you're asking, based on that governmental error, for them to waive your fees and penalties.
That's correct. That's a much more direct way of saying what I was...
And I've looked at it, and you can see the 1036, but you can also see how someone would make a mistake and say it's P.O. Box 103. So, I think the argument can be made that there was governmental error, but you can look for yourself.
James, any comments? Yay, nay, if you would come up to the mic, please, before you speak.
The only comment I have, and like I say, I'm carrying the statute book this morning, and that's plumb scary.
That's true.
When we talk about governmental errors and all that stuff, if you read the statute 52240 to its entirety, and nobody goes to number three. Nothing in this section shall relieve a taxpayer from paying taxes owed by December 31st and paying penalties and interest owed for failing to pay all taxes by December 31st. Now, it talks about governmental error happening and all these things happening, but this number three kind of knocks all that in the head. It said nothing relieves that.
Could you read that again for us?
Yes. Nothing in this section shall relieve a taxpayer from paying taxes owed by December 31st and paying penalties and interest owed for failing to pay all taxes by December 31st.
What does that nothing in this section apply mean to?
Prior to all that, it talks about how the collectors and everyone can step forward and request this payment of penalty and interest back. But they don't go as far as reading Section 3 of this statute.
James, if you pay all your taxes by December 31st, there will be no fees or penalties. So that would make the rest of it not make any sense if that's the way you read it.
No.
I mean, if you pay by December 31st, where are the fees and penalties?
It says nothing in this section shall relieve a taxpayer from paying taxes owed by December 31st and paying penalties and interest owed for failing to pay by all taxes by December 31st. If you pay them on the 1st of January, you will pay the penalty and interest.
For not paying by December 31st, what fees and penalties would be waived based on governmental error if everybody was required to pay by the 31st and did?
Let me ask you, James,
since you've brought this up, you're not thinking it's wise for us to waive these fees?
I just don't know that it's governmental error. I know Joe's, we've had a couple occasions where Joe's tax bill came back to the collector's office, and we all know Joe Allen. We had Dr. Spears' tax bills came back to the collector's office, and he never received them. So that was in dead mail in the collector's office, and we try to go through the dead mail when we're made aware of it. But not getting a tax bill to Joe Allen might be unexcusable when we all know Joe Allen, and it was in the dead mail file. And
well, which side of the fence are you? Are you for waiving the fees and interest or not on this case?
Which side of the fence have I been on all waiving the penalties and interest?
I'm saying this issue. Tell us where you are, please.
Interpretation of the statute. I don't think if you don't pay your taxes, you have no... Actually, to be standing here today, I feel like Joe should have paid his penalties and interest and then come and ask for it back. I don't think it's a matter of prior to him paying it. I think to follow the statutes, he should have paid that penalty and interest and then stepped up here and requested it back.
What I'm hearing you say, tell me if I'm right or wrong, James, is you're not in favor of us waiving the fees and interest in this case. Is that right?
It's not my decision. It's the collector's decision.
So you don't have
a
direction for us?
No, because we make plenty of mistakes.
Okay. Other discussion? Sheila just popped in the room. Joe has presented his case and shown us a copy of the warranty deed and how there's a question on the address. And James has brought, I'm not sure, what's the statute number we're looking at there? 52-240.
The only comment I have is then to knowing Joe Allen, and pardon me, I'm out of breath, the tax bill was not in the name of Joe Allen. If it was in Joe Allen's name, I do know Joe Allen. It was in, what was
Tri-Lake it? Tri-Lake something, I believe.
Yes, because whenever they come in and ask for it, I have to ask what name is it in. I don't know. And that was the reason we didn't know where to go with it. The only thing that we can do is look back and see if there's a new address on the other side.
Okay.
And there wasn't.
Commission have comments, questions? We got two attorneys and the assessor looking at the law book.
We're guaranteed to have three different opinions, I can tell you that.
Well, I'll move forward then and come on up to the mic, please, and I'll do that.
As Mr. Paulson may know, this is pretty standard for any legislation. You have one section that says one thing and then the next section that says something else. And I understand Mr. Strahan's point with number three. However, under subsection two, if you want to go to statutory interpretation in that argument, it's very clear the county collector shall refund penalties, interest, and taxes if the county made an error or omission in determining taxes owed by the taxpayer. Now, that begs the question of whether an error was made or not, which is arguable either way. And I understand also the argument, shall, using the term shall in statutory interpretation means must. It's not discretionary. So step one is to figure out or to determine the factual issue of whether or not an error was made. And if it's argued or if it's determined that an error was made, then the amount shall or must be returned. However, he makes a good point in that the statute also does say refund. So when he says, I should have gone and paid my taxes and interest and then come here and ask, which I'd be glad to do if that's if the commission thinks that's required by the statute, then I'll be glad to do that.
We can make that happen.
I bet this hearing a second time.
Mr. Paulson, you seem to be giving us direction that what I was hearing you say was we had an error here and it'd be a reasonable thing to consider to waive.
It would be. I mean, reading the statute, it sounds like the collector makes a decision. There's supposed to be a fund that she can pay it back from if there's an error. I can see why she wants it to come before the county commission. It's something that she, would be difficult for her to make that determination. She wants to insulate herself to a certain extent on that decision. I would too. But it seems like, at least arguably, there's been an error made here. And it would seem foolish to make him pay it and then refund it rather than just say, okay, it's refunded or, there are no penalties and interest. It seems like an unnecessary step. But, if there was a governmental error and you want to waive the fees and penalties, I'd
entertain a motion. Would someone like to make a motion? Oh, Sheila, you got another point?
Mr. Lane, I didn't know if you were going
to explain to you the difference in whether you're paying it or it's coming from the entities. Is those two differences there?
Okay. Is there a problem then from the practical aspect of not having him pay the fees and penalties, or should we have him pay them and then refund them?
Sheila, before you answer, would you come to the mic, please?
And your question, Bob, is basically process.
Process. Does it create a problem for you in the process?
I can do it any way you want. If he pays it first, then that interest is prorated out to the political subdivisions. And then the county commission makes the money available. That's that statute says the county commission shall make the money available. Then the county commission makes that money available. The way that we have done it upon when it is ordered that the customer does not have to pay the penalties and interest, then we note on the file and we collect it base amount and note that per commission decision and quote the statute 52-240 and collect the base amount, and the base amount only is distributed out to the political subdivision.
So it doesn't make a difference whether...
Makes a difference where that money comes from.
But it doesn't make a difference. Everybody still gets the money that they're supposed to get. Or is that not true?
The political, if you collect the base amount, the political subdivisions are split. The base amount is paid to the political subdivisions. If I collect the base amount and the political interest, if I collect the base amount and the interest, that amount is paid to the political subdivisions.
So, in other words, if he pays it in and then we pay it back, the county commission is the one that's paying
out
it back.
Out of GCR.
Okay, so it does make a difference.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Did you catch that?
Okay. I believe we got that. All right. You might want to make a motion.
Danny, what are you thinking?
What am I thinking?
You're already thinking.
I'm thinking, Joe, I I just wonder in my mind if how this got to this date, how we got to May before this, any action was taken, how we go from, I understand the escrow companies, the all the stuff that goes along with this, but how did we get to this date before you come in?
I came in Ms. White's office sometime the week before April 15th and asked for my tax receipts to take to my accountant, and that was the first time I had actual notice of it. And at that point, I'd come back and asked, you know, I asked her, can you waive these and I'll pay them today? And then she informed me that she didn't have that that ability or that discretion. And that's when I came to the...
So your tax preparation is what you're saying?
Yes, sir.
You went to get that information is when you first found it?
Yes, sir.
Okay. 2 years. That's where it was going. We got 2 years and we got... What I'm trying to figure out is property taxes being due December the 31st, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot or anything.
No, you're exactly. It's a good point. You're exactly right. I did the same thing last year. I would have come in last year at the same time for my accountant and requested tax receipts, and I'm guessing what may have happened. And Ms. White's correct. This property is under my LLC, Tri-Lakes Enterprises. So I'm guessing I walked in and someone in the office pulled up under my name and said, here are your tax receipts. That's probably what happened for the year 2008.
Sheila?
When Mr. Allen came in just the other day, he could tell me what day it was that we printed the receipt. That'd be the day. When he asked for his receipt, I looked under Joe Allen. I didn't find it. I said, I'm sorry. I said, what is it under? What? And he had to tell me then, you know, the name it's under. If you've got a different corporate name and come in, I don't know them, and I'll have to ask you what it's under, and then we have to be sure the spelling is correct because it may be spelt one way or.
If you got one property, something like this wouldn't happen, but when you've got numerous properties and different names.
Yeah.
Pretty easy to understand.
Yeah. We have customers that have several corporate, and they've got to be able to tell me. Some of them I know, I've got to, you know what their name they're under.
Right. And my problem exists with 2 years. Last year, if there was taxes due on this property, what was your assumption? Did you just assume that it was paid out of an escrow account that was paying the bills on the property, or how did you end up with the assumption that taxes had been paid last year?
Well, that's my whole point. I never received any notice of it, and I don't think anybody was trying to not give me notice. I think Ms. White's office did everything they could, based upon their decision that it was P.O. Box 103, to give me notice. But that's exactly right. That's how it happened. I mean, I was under the assumption that that the taxes were escrowed just like my other two properties, but they were not.
These are always tough decisions, judgments, and everything like that. And I can see here the way this is marked up that, you know, that it looks like it doesn't show that appearance of that address. And but I just...
I want to say something on that marked up deal. That is Mark. What was recorded, wasn't it, Joe?
I'm sorry?
That marked up... like that was recorded that way. It wasn't
that worksheet. That document actually came from Ms. White's office, but it's got the stamp on it, so I'm
yeah,
assuming...
Yeah, that come right directly out. That's no worksheet type thing. That wasn't marked up anywhere in the process. That was recorded that
so
way.
The title company did...
Evans Title Company. Evans Title Company has the one that...
Yeah, we just went to the recorder's database and printed it off of them. That's the document that's recorded.
Okay. Anyone want to make a motion? Not I will.
Let's hear it.
I'll make a motion to, forget Bob's words, on there's a good chance there was an error, and waive the fees and interest for 2008 and 2009, 116.44 and 51.95.
You know, waive them, or are you going to force them to pay them in and then pay them back? How do you want? You heard from Sheila that it makes a difference.
Right. Was that not the better of the two differences? To waive them, or is it better to?
If you waive them, they don't go to the school districts. If you, in the other districts, and if you don't waive them,
comes out of GCR.
What you do is they get theirs, and it comes out of GCR, and that may be the proper way of doing it under the statute, the way James pointed out.
I don't want to set a precedent that way, though. Let me say this.
Well, that's what you said, James. So I was.
I know, but let me say this.
Not what I said.
This is a minimal amount of money that we're talking about. That shouldn't make a difference in the decision. But what if this was a $50,000 or a $100,000 property that had to come out of GCR? So this is a very important decision that we make on how we're going to proceed with this decision over approximately $200. So it's a very important decision the way that we want to handle this situation, and I want to make sure we get it right, because $50,000 or $100,000 out of GCR right now could be pretty devastating.
There's no place in the statutes for taxes or anything like this to come out of GCR, and if anyone can point to that statute, bring it on. The collectors have tried to get that passed to come out of GCR, but it is, nothing comes out. It says the appropriate entities. Read your statutes. GCR does not have to take the load on any of this.
We've never tried to get anything passed.
Yeah. And I don't have the statute in front of me. James has. Let me move my bag.
No GCR money involved in the taxation process.
Okay, maybe we need to take a recess and put our attorney to work and see what James has, have him review what James has said and what Sheila
said.
Well,
what's our next deal at 9:30?
We've got a 9:25.
It's HPRP, I think.
It says an invoice.
Well, I'd like to get this handled today if we can to get Joe
on. I tried to get on the internet a little while ago, but there is no internet service.
Joe, can you hang around just a little while? I know you're busy.
Justice at 9:30.
Okay. You better go.
And the judge were at 10 o'clock.
But so you can stop back,
we
right?
We can just
absolutely.
If we make the decision, though,
we'll just
I mean,
let you know what the decision is. Why don't you just, I mean, you can just check in with Sheila or James or the commission upstairs and we can tell you what the decision.
But
and for what it's worth, it absolutely, I mean, if the decision is that the penalties and interests are waived, I don't care one bit or the other to go pay the full amount and then have it refunded to me or to go pay the amount less. That part does not make any
difference. Gotcha.
I know that's not my decision, but it doesn't make any bit of difference for me for what's worth.
You have the agenda.
I just want to make sure that we do the best to protect the citizens of the county.
I understand.
We don't even have to table it. We can go to the next subject, Chuck, and just call a recess. I can go up and get the invoice. I don't know. I've heard about it. That's all I know.
We'll recess for a couple minutes. Go get our invoice for our HPRP and come back. And I've got an administrative I'd like to talk about. And.